than answer the question or ask the question, hopefully we'll answer it. What is evangelism? And our reference will be Acts 8, 26 through 40. If you want to open your Bibles or phones to that, we will be referring to that off and on. Acts 8, verses 26 through 40. And you'll know the story. Would someone like to read that for us? And then we'll actually get into it and unpack it. Acts 8, 26 through 40.
Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and he went. There was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, the court official of Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shear is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, beginning with this scripture. He told them the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at
Azotus, I think.
Azotus. And he passed through and he preached the gospel to all towns until he came to Caesarea.
Okay. First of all, this class is going to be made up of a lot of questions and answers, discussion. If you'll notice, that's why it's only two pages, because most of it's questions. So I'm going to refer to the class for most of those answers. But our first question is, when you hear the word evangelism, what is your first thought? When you hear the word evangelism, what's the first thing that kind of pops in your mind?
Go out and spread the word.
Go out and spread the word.
Share.
I'm going to be more realistic. When I hear about it, I hear about knocking on doors.
Mayor, I think about the Great Commission.
The Great Commission? Yeah. Okay.
Could be lunch with somebody.
Yeah. Could be a lot of different things. Typically, our first thought concerning evangelism is characterized into two things: relational evangelism and random chance encounter. Which one was the story of Philip and the Ethiopian?
Random.
Was it random?
Random chance.
Random chance?
The angel sinning, so I don't know how random it is.
Well, some would say it was a chance encounter, but it's much more than that. And as we unpack it, hopefully you'll see it. But first of all, who was this Philip? Is this Philip the apostle?
Probably.
Probably. I only have a probably. Do I have a yes or a no?
I think it was him.
You think it was him? So we got a yes? Well,
says it's one of the seven that was appointed as
a... He was one of the seven chosen by the early church in Jerusalem. This was not the apostle Philip. We read about him in Acts 6. And also, when his work is hindered by the outbreak of persecution following the death of Stephen, we find him at once departing to enter an active missionary work elsewhere. That's in Acts 8, in the earlier part of this chapter we just read. So we'll talk about that a little bit more, but this is not Philip the Apostle. This is another Philip. So as we unpack verses 26 through 29, this is in your notes. Philip and the Ethiopian were both on their way somewhere else. The Spirit was at work in both of them before they had even met. Philip had to be obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Several times the Spirit asked Philip to do things without explanation. Without Philip's obedience, the opportunity to present the gospel to the Ethiopian would not have presented itself. The appointment with God's, judging by the response of the Ethiopian and Philip's timing, this was obviously something that God ordained. Philip meets the Ethiopian where he is. Philip didn't first tell the Ethiopian that he was a lost soul and he needed Jesus. Instead, he explained the passage in Isaiah and elaborated on who the prophet Isaiah was speaking about. Then is when Philip transitioned to the gospel message. So, our first question of this group: what is the first thing that the Lord gives Philip?
Direction
or instructions on what to do. How does Philip respond?
He obeys.
Huh?
He obeyed.
The verse says he got up. It depends on the translation, but he got up and went on his way. He didn't like him haul around, did he? What happened when Philip responded obediently to the angel of the Lord's direction?
He found an evangelism that needed to be taught to go back to Ethiopia.
He had a random chance encounter.
He found the Ethiopian. What phrase is repeated in verses 27 and 28? And also in 39, but we haven't got there yet. What phrase is repeated in verses 27 and 28? On your way or on his way? Yep. What does this say about where evangelism takes place?
Anywhere.
And it's where that person is. So, two or more gathered. And number six. How do you think Philip felt running up right beside a chariot of an Ethiopian, someone he did not know? How do you think Philip felt running up to the Ethiopian's chariot?
Being led by the Spirit, I would imagine he's kind of excited to find out what's happening next.
You think he may be in a little scared, though?
Apprehension?
Depends on the drive.
He ran.
He didn't ride.
Yeah. The Spirit said, go over and join his chariot. Well, mm-hmm. I would probably walk over. He ran.
He ran. Yeah, he as far ran. As we know, he ran.
He was excited for it.
Yeah. He saw the opportunity. Or felt like he saw the opportunity.
What do you think the Egyptian thought when this guy comes running up in the desert?
Yeah.
Hey, man, you know what you
yeah.
Mean?
It goes the other way too, doesn't it?
Who are you?
Yeah.
Where'd you come from?
Yeah.
I think, unless it's maybe somewhere further down in here, but you know, that Ethiopian seems like was seeking the Lord, or maybe to know about Jesus. Sure, this was going around. And, you know, God sent him someone to, you know, teach him the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
He was a high-ranking dude in
mm-hmm.
the Queen's Court or whatever.
He was like the chief treasurer.
Back and, you know, have a position to be able to spread this message there
yeah.
too also.
Yeah. Sure thing. Remember in the prayer class, we talked about, does God hear the prayer of a sinful person? And I'm not saying we're not all sinful, but someone who is not presently following him. And I came to the conclusion that he does, if that person has the right attitude and the right heart of searching for God, then God will hear the prayer and present an opportunity. And I think this is sort of what maybe is happening here with the Ethiopian eunuch.
Yeah.
Bernard?
Looking at it from, he was a eunuch.
Yeah.
Okay. Which means to me, it doesn't matter who the person is, because some of these eunuchs either was born that way or they were
made that way. Yeah.
So, you know, God uses different people in different ways to spread his gospel. That's why we shouldn't be hesitant in talking to someone that we think or see that is what we would call a sinful person. Not saying that he was, but you know.
Yeah.
So all my point is, he uses everybody with the situation that they're in, so we should not be hesitant to speak to anyone about the gospel.
Right. And don't judge them just on appearance either.
Exactly.
So, David?
Well, you know, God gives a command. It is not our place to know the whole story of whatever is happening.
Right.
We do.
Right. That's we should do.
We
yeah.
do.
Well, yeah.
And we have no clue sometimes how far that influence is going to have. He may have just talked to the person that brought Christianity to the whole Ethiopian nation.
Yeah. Yeah.
For that matter.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we don't know where it's going to go.
Right.
We can tell thousands of stories about something that...
And we might and we may not ever really know where it goes in the long run.
Well, so, once we get to heaven, I think
we can ask then. Ben.
So I've heard it discussed that the term eunuch in this context didn't necessarily mean we thought of it. It could have referred to him as a treasurer or some.
Well, he was the treasurer.
Right, but it could have been referring to him as the treasurer, talking about him in the context of the Nubian organization that he came from.
I've never heard that. I'm not saying you're wrong. I've just never heard that before.
Do you recognize that eunuchs to a Jew, I mean, Philip's a Greek, but to the Jew,
right.
eunuchs were not, they were almost like a Gentile.
Yeah.
They did not associate with them.
Right.
So, I mean, it's good that Philip's a Greek, but God said... what your definition of is who's acceptable to me is not my definition.
Exactly. Yep. And we have a hard time seeing, getting through that. So.
You know, this guy evidently was an educated man.
He probably was, yeah.
The Ethiopian, I mean, he
yeah.
was in charge of the treasury.
Right.
You know.
He was like,
idiot.
Yeah.
Do that, but... You know, a lesson for anybody really to look and say, well, here's an educated guy, but he asked a real good question, how am I going to understand that?
Yeah.
Unless somebody explains it to me. So not to think of yourself as being so smart you don't never need to have something explained to
yeah.
you. And also that just because somebody's educated doesn't mean that you can't teach them something, even though you may not have their... same education, their knowledge.
Nobody knows everything about everything.
Except my brother.
I guess, they may think they do, but...
He's an engineer.
But it takes a humble person to admit, I don't know everything. You know, he's reading Isaiah and he's saying, he doesn't understand it. So, Jim?
To me, a humble person.
Yeah.
And he was asked, what do you do for a living?
Yeah. He didn't go around bragging how many rings he has and all that, does he? Yeah. Y'all know him personally, right? Didn't y'all know him personally? Or still know him personally? Yeah. Number 7. Was this a comfortable situation or a natural thing to do? We're talking about Philip running up to the chariot.
I think he was kind of told to do it.
Yeah, but was that natural? Was that probably something natural? Probably not. Right. And that's point we're trying to make is when it comes to our personal evangelism, sometimes we have to step out of that comfort zone into that uncomfortable feeling type of thing. Any other comments or questions about 26 through 29? All right. Verses 30 through 35. How does Philip respond when he hears the Ethiopian reading from Isaiah? How does Philip respond?
Starts to engage.
We already talked about it, sort of, kind of.
He asks engaging questions.
Yes. Not just a yes or no, yeah. but an engaging question. Do you understand what you're reading? We've mentioned that before. What was the Ethiopian's response? Verse 31.
Really?
Yeah. Are you talking to me? Would you consider the Ethiopian's response to be a normal response?
Yeah.
In other words, tell me, what am I reading?
Somebody running up out of the desert saying, you got me out there, what you're reading out there?
Yeah.
Is a little odd.
Might be a little defensive, like.
Well, I don't think it was necessarily offensive, but I think it was odd.
Yeah.
And I think if somebody had the courage to run up to your chariot, and they know that they got no business talking to you, and ask you, that might be something you want to pursue.
Now, think about it. He's reading Isaiah. There's something in there about a reed in the wilderness. He's suddenly this guy walking out of the wilderness to him. He said, oh, is this what this is talking about right now?
Ben, of course, it quotes, three verses mm-hmm. out of Isaiah 53. What's the premise behind Isaiah 53? Does anybody know it enough to kind of give us a synopsis? About Jesus being crucified, what it's about. It's prophecy about Jesus. So he's reading this and he doesn't understand what's going on. Linda, do you have your hand up? I mean, Cindy, do you have your hand up? I'm sorry.
Okay. I wonder, was he reading it out loud? Did he could hear him reading it?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Know that he was reading it and runs up and says, hey, you know what you're reading there?
Yeah.
So I always wondered that when I read that. Was he just reading it out loud? Did Philip heard it?
Yeah.
So that he could ask that question? But why otherwise would you ask a guy that question that you know what you're reading?
Or either he recognized the scroll or something. Yeah.
Well, I have a footnote that said it was customary to read it out loud.
Was it? Oh, okay. You remember things if you read it out loud. At least I do. Yeah. How would you have responded if someone offered to explain what you are reading to you? What would be our normal response, you think?
Defensive?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what I'm reading.
Yeah. And who are you? Who are you to tell me?
How do I know you know what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what was Philip's starting point in evangelism?
Right there.
This scripture. We're talking about the Isaiah 53 scripture. Why did he start there? That's where the eunuch was, wasn't it? You start where they are, and you don't. Then you take them along. Yes, ma'am.
Well, and it was a divine encounter.
Very much so. Yeah.
So both of them had to be at the right place at the right time.
And they were.
And that's a willing heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're saying starting point. We don't know what it was like this before this.
Well, I say starting point because he was reading in Isaiah.
Oh.
So we assume that's where Philip started. He started explaining Isaiah 53 to him, telling him who what's being talked about, and then took him from there. That's the assumption we're talking about.
Well, I don't know. Verse 35 says that.
Does or does not?
It says that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking this is his first evangelism in his life.
No.
Probably not. Probably not. No. Anybody have anything else on that?
You know, Lynn, I think he would have started with Jesus regardless.
Yeah. Well, that's what the prophecy was talking about.
Sure, wherever he was reading. Though. What if he was reading somewhere else in Isaiah? He needed to bring him back to Jesus and start there. You know, I had somebody come to me one time, never read the Bible. Never had a Bible in their home. They said they want to start reading it. They want to start with Revelation. I said, Lord, let's don't start there.
Yeah.
They said, where do we go? I said, let's go to Acts or one of the Gospels. But either way, bring them back to Jesus. I think it's important there that he was reading that and he started there. But I think even if he wasn't reading that part, he would have brought him back.
Yeah.
At some point.
He would have come around. And we know that's where he ended up, of course.
Sure.
We know the rest of the story. So.
I'm not opposed to it, but it didn't seem like he cared too much about becoming the guy's friend first.
He did not, apparently not. Yeah. He went right to the scripture.
I think sometimes we feel like, oh, we got to be friends before we can even preach the gospel.
Yeah. And nothing wrong with that,
as
Jerry Seinfeld said. But. No, you know, this is a good example of no, you don't necessarily have to. So.
It's also a matter of reading the opportunity or reading the current surroundings.
Taking advantage of the opportunity.
It's not a place to build a friendship, it's a chance meeting.
Yeah.
And I think under thesaurus and under chance meeting, it will probably also say spirit-led.
So. Good, yeah.
Yeah. All this that's going on here, I don't think you can take out of the providence of God and the spreading of the gospel. At this time, the church was new, it was growing, you know, and it was spreading, and for this guy to be at this part of the scripture and have Philip there right at that right time, for this guy searching to go back and continue spreading the gospel to the kingdom of India.
Yeah, this whole encounter was put together by God.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, to say that while he could have been anywhere else, he was here for a reason.
Yeah.
Because if he's here, then it's easy for Philip to say, well, let me tell you about Jesus and how that's talking
right
about him. You know what I'm saying?
Because
he was searching there.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times things happen in our lives, and we have a tendency of saying, well, that was a good coincidence.
That's divine intervention.
Yeah. I do too.
Maybe later on today.
Like in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. Anybody? Yeah. Somebody may say something with the next question, you know. We've already answered number 6. Where did he end up? Verse 35 says, a source of salvation. Depends on your translation, may say something a little bit different. So why didn't Philip start with the gospel and then move back to the passage in Isaiah?
Start where the guy, where the person is.
Yeah.
It's best to start where the person is.
You think it would have been confusing if he had skipped right over, on over, and
yeah.
And up?
Well, first of all, he didn't have a copy of the gospel.
No, nobody did back at that point.
They didn't have a copy of Isaiah.
Yeah. Yeah. He could have told him about it, though. That's what he could have done. Was you through, David?
I'm sorry. No,
Okay.
I feel like that what you said in Isaiah and the gospel, that's a part of the gospel.
Yeah.
You have to know about Jesus.
Yeah.
Before you can go to the next step for the next question to ask.
Yeah. Y'all hear the Lord speaking? Yeah, Moses speaking. Yeah, by us knowing the end result, or the end of the story, so to speak, we can take somebody along that path. If we don't know that path, then it's hard for us to take somebody along with us. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
A lot of times it's good to ask questions.
Yeah.
Because if you just go and start talking, you have no clue.
Yeah.
You be talking, you know, as deep as the ocean.
Yeah.
They don't understand it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not quite as fast as that.
It's not as fast as what?
As how this happens.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we need to slow down and let the process take place where the person can let themselves in and understand.
Yeah. Like, we won't take their shirt collar and shake them. Why don't you understand this? Wake up.
Again, like watching a TV show, we don't know what the time frame is here.
That's true.
It may have
been an all-day event. Yeah. So.
Do you realize that this man, this Ethiopian, was already knowledgeable of God and of the prophets,
mm-hmm.
and of the Jews, and understanding about temple worship and all that? I mean, he already had
He knew it, yeah, yeah.
This wasn't a brochure he picked up at the local travel center.
No. And just to have a copy of Isaiah was something. Not everybody even had copies of it, you know.
Was
it was read to them.
Way back there from
he'd already gone to worship,
or something like
yeah.
that for some kind of religious
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
Something. I mean, he was, like you said, he was already a religious person.
Could have been Jewish.
Yeah.
Probably was Jewish.
Yeah.
But we don't know, but yeah, probably was.
I have a note that says that scroll cost a year's wages.
Yeah.
One copy of that scroll, a year's wages. So not everybody's going to have that.
Right.
We're going to have someone handwriting.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, done by hand.
That's how labor start writing scrolls.
Yeah. Verses 36 through 40. How many people has a Bible with verse 37 in it? Connie? Dwayne?
Is that the
Deborah? Is that the bottom?
Yeah.
but it's not inside the text.
Usually.
It's usually a footnote.
Yeah.
Yours is inside? What version, what translation do you have?
Oh, I can't even remember. It's been too long since I even asked. It's just, what is this? It's a Holy Bible.
Oh. King James?
New King James.
New King James. Okay. They must have put it in when they did the new. No, NIV does not have it, right? What do you have, Tip?
It's actually one that when you were baptized, like an easy to read.
Oh, and it has verse 37 in the text? Okay. Most translations will not have verse 37 in there. It'd be as a footnote if it has it at all.
I have so. The NIV. It's got a note that you can open up and says that most of the transcripts have it.
Yeah.
And the manuscripts have it.
Yeah.
It has the verse there.
Yeah. So as a footnote?
Well, it's within the.
Oh, yeah. It has a. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I know what you're saying. Okay. Just a little trivia there. Judging by the Ethiopian's desire to be baptized so quickly, it is obvious that Philip went to some depth in his explanation. The Ethiopian was aware and accepting of the concept of being baptized by spirit and by water. Likewise, there are times when we should go into depth when we evangelize. Speculate on the depth of Philip's conversion, of Philip's conversation with the Ethiopian. Speculate on the depth of Philip's conversation with the Ethiopian. Do you go into great details, real deep details, or
kind of?
That's why I say speculate.
He might have given some personal perspective.
Yeah.
Home,
yeah.
Where he'd been, what he'd experienced, what he had information about.
Yeah.
Context.
Again, like I said, it's speculation, but you just. The point is, sometimes you have to go into great details with somebody, and sometimes if you just kind of hit the basics, they grasp it.
Well, think about the Ethiopian is probably as knowledgeable of the history as the Jews were in Acts 2.
Yeah.
And we can read Peter's sermon in what? 5 minutes?
Yeah.
5 minutes?
Yeah.
And their question was, what should we do?
They had the same question.
What do we do?
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that with my dad.
Yeah.
A friend, my dad loved music, and they would get together and play music and sing and this kind of stuff. And, you know, for 20 years they did that.
Yeah.
My friends have been talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
And one day, 20 years later, the man said, "I'm going to church." And he says, he called my daddy Charlie.
Yeah.
He said, "I'm going where Charlie Neal goes to church because he's talked about Jesus ever since he met
him." Yeah, you don't know. You never know.
Now, sometimes you're planting a seed and you might see it and you might not, but God's going to use it.
Mm-hmm. And it could be, and I thought of that, your last statement, the Ethiopian may have heard some of this before from someone else, and he's just now kind of putting it all together with Philip's help. So someone else may have planted the seed in the Ethiopian. We don't know, but could have.
Yeah, just had some way to find out about what was going
yeah.
on.
Yeah, yeah. Whether observation or reading or hearing people talk or something. Yeah.
And he had more than just Isaiah, because I'm not sure, somebody correct me, whether the book of Isaiah commands that you go to Jerusalem to worship.
No, it doesn't. I don't think it does.
So he knew more than
yeah,
the book.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how many Jews without, you know, talking to the other nations about it, but that was one of their main reasons, to show people that God was with them.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to do that. They were supposed to spread the good news. Well, I don't know if you would call it the gospel, but it's the good news of God. So they were supposed to do that, whether they did it or not, because they hated other nationalities.
Yeah.
That was their job.
Yeah. Yep.
And they all did their such good, always did their job very well. Just ask Jonah.
You're talking about how long, Deborah, how long it takes us to read things in the Bible? I made the mistake a while ago of saying put a clock on my announcement a while ago, earlier.
You went a minute and a half.
And David Lehman sent me a text of his screenshot, 1:26. So what can I say?
You ought to see the one I got after my sermon.
Oh, we've got a wreck out here on Beach Drive. Harbor Boulevard at Beach Drive inside eastbound lane is blocked. Hopefully they'll... Anyway, all right. So what do you think about the Ethiopians' reaction to Philip's disappearance? Uh-oh, my time is running out. What do you think about the Ethiopians' reaction?
Says he reacted and went on rejoicing, so it's not like a good experience.
Well, what happened to Philip?
Disappeared.
He just disappeared. Yeah. So, and then the Ethiopian just says, okay, and just went on his way. He's like, no big deal. So.
Well, he knew it was from God at that point, probably. So he was bothering that the guy just disappeared.
Since he just appeared.
Yeah.
They think Philip. All of a sudden, it's in a whole different place.
Yeah, really. It's like bewitched, you know, or something. So how was the Ethiopian's life changed, other than being baptized, of course?
I think he became an evangelist.
Probably so.
You are that joyful, yeah. You can't keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, and he probably went around, like someone said earlier, telling other folks. So... How was Philip's? That's true. How was Philip's life changed?
He moved and stayed in Caesarea.
Well, in Acts 21:8, Luke tells us that Philip is now known as the Philip the Evangelist.
And he had already started that.
Yeah. Yeah. Philip began with discussing the passages in Isaiah with the Ethiopian, presently was reading and then transitioned to the life of Jesus. The phrase "on his way" is repeated several times. How do we evangelize on the way? How do we evangelize on the way? I'm sorry, that's a question. I'm kind of moving fast.
As you are going.
Yeah, so in our daily walk, as we come upon somebody who looks like they need.
Not only that, but you know, it says he went on his way rejoicing.
Yeah.
So if you're talking to somebody joyfully about Christ,
they're gonna feel. They're gonna pick that up.
Well, yeah, and it's a lot better than
Yeah. Is, really.
If you're talking about today, you know, to see the joy for them to see the joy in you that Christ has brought into your life. I think
exactly.
Big plus when you're talking to somebody.
Yeah.
Plus you're more enthusiastic.
Yeah.
You're
and as we get into the class in a few weeks, we're going to put all this together, and how can we do that better? Number four, the last one. How do we run beside a friend's chariot? I wouldn't advise doing that out here on 98. But, but I put those in quotations. How do we run beside a friend's chariot?
Just go to them.
Go to them, wherever they are, yeah. So, in conclusion, what is evangelism? And actually, Teresa hit on this a while ago. Evangelism refers to our human efforts of proclaiming the message that Jesus Christ is Lord. We proclaim the gospel with the hope that our audience responds by trusting, repenting, and obeying Jesus.
You know, you see a guy named Larry West that did We Care Ministry.
Yeah.
I remember one time he said that a lot of people don't really understand what evangelism is because we think it's like inviting someone to church or just being someone's friend.
Right.
Let them see Jesus in you. But he said that evangelism really never occurs until that you share the gospel with someone.
That's the point, yeah. Yeah. David. Yeah, and we're going to talk about that too in a couple of weeks. It's not just a new convert. It's bringing and.
And to me, kind of getting in an uncomfortable place.
That's even more uncomfortable sometimes.
And then we're told that, you know,
always be prepared to give an answer.
Right.
The hope that we have.
Right.
We got to get that.
Right. And we can't just tell the wall here. We got to tell somebody. So next week we're going to answer the question, why evangelism? And the process, this class will basically be like today, lots of discussion type questions, and we'll go all from there. Your scripture homework, Matthew 5, 10 through 16, and then Luke 15. Any final questions or comments before we're dismissed? Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hope you keep coming.
I think everybody at this room knows, but ladies' class starts in the morning.
Yeah, ladies, Mars is the beginning of your class.